Welcome to episode 159 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Barton. This episode is one in a sub-series on fossils. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. In fact, this is the last episode on fossils. Very shortly, we'll be getting into some natural history, trying to trace the evolution of humanity, and a handful of other especially clever critters. My goal is to try and figure out what evolutionary pressures gave rise to intelligence. That's why I did the series on fossils in the first place. I wanted a better understanding of where the evidence comes from. I am not a paleontologist, not an expert on fossils. The last few episodes has been sort of a skim, top layer of what I've been learning. What I've mostly learned is that the puzzle is complicated, and most of the pieces are missing. Any given ecology is complicated, with many different species in complex interdependencies. There's cooperation, competition, symbiosis, predators, and parasites. Yet in the fossil record, we have only a few percent of any of those species. And there's a bias towards animals that have skeletons or hard shells. Most of the time, we only get fragments, even of those skeletons and shells. Things can easily be misidentified or misclassified. To make matters worse, some of those fossils are fakes. In October of 1999, National Geographic held a press conference. They unveiled the Archaea raptor. They featured it in their November issue. Unfortunately, it wasn't a real creature. Although it was against the law, farmers in China would collect fossils and sell them. A particularly clever farmer took several fossils and stuck them together. It appeared to be a transitional fossil, a missing link between dinosaurs and birds. By February of the year 2000, National Geographic released a press release explaining that the fossil was actually a composite of three different fossils. And in March, they featured a letter from a Chinese paleontologist explaining that it was from three different creatures. At the time the fossil was sold, it went for $80,000. It's not hard to see what the motivation for this fake was. It was purely financial. Both the tail and feet were from creatures that had never been seen before. The hoax first started to become unraveled when that Chinese paleontologist identified the creature that the tail actually belonged to. There really were dinosaurs that had feathers. And it really does appear that the feathers developed before flight. But there was that fake, just to complicate and confuse the picture. It's not always money that inspires people to fake fossils. In 1912, a British amateur archaeologist faked Piltdown Man, a supposed missing link between apes and humans. Charles Dawson was well-to-do, and he wasn't lacking for money. What he craved was recognition and respect. He died in 1916, having received awards, honors, and accolades. In 1953, Time magazine published evidence demonstrating that the Piltdown Man was a hoax. It was fragments of a skull from the medieval period, belonging to a human, the jawbone of an orangutan, and some teeth from a chimpanzee. The jawbone and teeth had been stained and even painted to appear like it had come from the same place. Some of the teeth had been filed to make it look like the animal had been eating a diet consistent with humans. This particular supposed missing link was so well accepted for so long that it actually interfered with the recognition of actual missing links or transitional fossils between ape and human. Early hominids, such as the Tong Child, the first Australopithecus fossil discovered. Sometimes it isn't money or reputation that motivates a fossil hoax. During the California Gold Rush in 1866, some miners delivered a skull to Josiah Whitney, who was the state geologist of California. Whitney had published an article outlining his belief that humans, mastodons, mammoths, and elephants had all shared North America at the same period. If the skull had actually been found where the miners claimed it had come from, it would have been about 1 million years old. Whitney believed it. So did his successor. In this case, almost no one else did. The skull was dated to be around 1,000 years old, at most. It was another fake. No one's exactly certain who pulled the prank, but it was fairly well known within the mining community that it had been a joke. The only reason it was done is because the miners didn't get along well with Whitney, and they thought it would be funny. There are plenty of reasons, rational and irrational, why someone would fake it. In the upcoming episodes, as we start talking about natural history, remember, all I'm giving you is our best guess to date. And it's a guess built on information that's missing, confusing, or lies. See you next time.